Thanks for praying with him. And by the way, the band today, I don't know how many people were sick and how many instruments we had to trade, but come on now, that's putting it together when it's falling apart. So I just appreciate all of you. And it's a good day to think about the book of Ephesians. We've been studying this all summer in the first couple of chapters. Talk about how much you're loved by God. Second couple of chapters talk about you have to conduct yourself in a way that you know that you're loved by God. And then we get into this chapter 6, and Paul starts talking about spiritual warfare. And it's a warfare that's beyond what we can have in our human cognition. It's a spiritual warfare that we're actually fighting against the devil. And it's powerful, and he talks about this armor. And in chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Last week, we talked about this belt of truth, that a soldier would put this belt on, and it would help them to be able to move freely, and that's where they hang their armor. The belt was super important. And we also said, what is that belt? What is that truth that you base your life upon? What is that thing that you know? Because in our society, truth is relative. Is there an anchor that you and I can have? And I believe there is in God's word. And then we talk about this breastplate of righteousness. And, I'm left-handed. And I remember going to a place to golf, no left-handed clubs. So I golfed right-handed and actually did halfway decent. But imagine if I was said, "Hey, you need to golf, but no clubs." Okay. Or, "Hey, I want you to play tennis, but no racket." I mean, maybe my hands could play tennis, but not everybody's could. And when you talk about a soldier who's going to fight, there is no way that they would go into battle without this breastplate. Absolutely no way. This breastplate that covered them from their neck all the way down their torso. And it was a breastplate that was made out of this strong leather. And, it was kind of a tank top thing so their arms could move. And they had pieces of armor or iron or even hooves or horns of an animal on the front of it to protect their heart, to protect their vital organs. And so what Paul is saying here, if you want to live for God, protect your heart. Protect your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says this, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." He wants us to put on a breastplate of righteousness. Quite honestly, I struggled with this. So how can we live rightly if we don't know what truth is? I remember when I got my first riding mower. I mean, I was so thrilled. And then I realized I had way too much grass. And as I did our yard, I didn't realize that it should have been smoothed out really well. And so my mower, I used to smooth out the grass and the rocks. And you could just hear, and I thought, I'll change the blades. So I changed the blades, but I didn't know really what I was doing. So I put them on upside down. And that's how I mowed for like 4 months. And I had a buddy of mine, "Hey, can you sharpen blades on a mower?" Like, "Oh, yeah." And then he said, "Hey, Jim, you know why your mower wasn't mowing real well?" "I have no idea." "You put the blades on upside down so they're spinning backwards." And I'm like, "Oh, how come nobody told me that?" Hey, have you ever, like, you're doing something, but then someone says, "Oh, that's not how you do it." And you're like, "Why didn't you tell me?" Yeah. How can you live righteously when you don't know what truth is? That's why this belt of truth is so important. Every one of us has to have a foundation upon which we build our life. Here's the craziest thing I've been asked over the last 2 years. In 30-some years of ministry, I've never been asked this. New people come to the church and they say, hey, pastor, I got a question for you. Okay. Do you actually preach from the Bible? Well, I mean, what do you mean, preach from my shoe? I'm shocked. And, you know, I've had someone in the last 2 weeks. Hey, just checking. Do you believe in the Bible? I don't even know how to answer that other than, what are you thinking? I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why are people asking me if I believe in the Bible? Because people want to know truth. And for me, this is the anchor upon which I've tried to build my life. Whether I choose to do it or not, it still is true. And you have to know truth. And if you join truth with right living, it's called righteousness. So I really struggled with this week. Because I believe in truth and I believe in right living, but I also, like, I read verses like this in Romans chapter 3, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is wise. No one is seeking God. I'm like, okay, did you have like a bad day? I mean, this is a little harsh. No one is righteous. No, I mean, not even one of you. No one is wise. Okay, you're all dumb. Okay, you don't seek God. All of you have turned away. I mean, I just imagine the author, what are you even doing here? You don't even care. I mean, I'm like, gosh, what's, you've all turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not even a single one. Well, aren't you glad you came to church today? And then look at this verse. You know, guard your heart. Okay, you want to be righteous, but all of you are just wretched. And then, you know, guard your heart because it's important. Well, then look at this verse. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So I'm thinking, God, and this week as I was praying, I'm like, God, okay, this is super awkward because we're told, okay, this belt of truth, got it. To put on this thing that guards our heart to be righteous and that none of us is righteous. And we're supposed to guard our hearts, but we're all like so wicked, what do we do? And this week I was praying and I'm thinking, God, I don't know how to do this. And in my time of prayer this week, this came to me. I was reminded this, tell the church what you told them before we talked about the armor, that none of the armor works unless you have the power within to use it. And there is hope in Jesus. He's the one who gives us strength to make this piece of armor work. And then I thought about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And I began to go, okay, God, because we really can't be righteous on our own. We really don't understand truth on our own. My truth may not be your truth, and your truth may not be my truth, but is there anything called truth? And what is righteous? Is one thing that's righteous for me not righteous for you? And how do we guard our hearts? And then I realized we need Christ. We need to be anchored in Christ. In Philippians, it says this, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. That means may you be filled with the fact that you've accepted Christ and it's not all on you, that His Spirit will help us. Man, I took comfort in that this week because I struggled with this. And it says, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And so I was praying. I'm like, okay, deeper. Deeper in you is where we need to go. Especially when things are crazy. And I was praying. I'm like, God, how do we get here? I mean, none of us are righteous. Our hearts are wicked. But yet we can put on this breastplate of righteousness. In my time of prayer, I'm like, God, how did we end up here? And I thought, just like the light went on, Jim, we have a lot of hurts and people have a lot of hang-ups, and that's how we got here. And every one of us gets hurt, right? Sometimes we're hurt because people really hurt us. And then there's this thing in life that we don't even know how it happened, but it happened and we're devastated. And we have these hurts and instead of letting that armor protect us, we hide behind it and we don't deal with our hurt. And because we don't deal with our hurt, we have this filter that everything is going through this filter and when we're not seeing correctly. And it really hurts to be hurting. It hurts, and you understand this, when your heart is broken and you feel like you've just been drugged so far and you're at your wit's end and you're just, I can't do this. And that's why we have to guard our heart. Because our heart, you understand this? The pain that we feel. What do we do with that pain when somebody hurts us? What do we do with the pain when life just punches us so hard we can't even breathe? Blessing instead of mourning. Festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. Instead of just completely being overwhelmed, even when life is overwhelming, the Lord says, I can help. And when you let me help with your hurt, it will actually help the armor to fit better. Such a powerful verse. And if there's like a favorite verse in the Bible for me, this is one of them. Then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, in these days, I'm careful what I'm watching because it's overwhelming, and what you put into your heart dictates how you're going to live. And I'm hanging a little closer to this than I am the media. I'm not ignorant. I understand that things are hard. I totally get that. But I am not going to allow my life to be cheated because I'm only focusing on this world. We're talking about something here that's better than this world when I have been hurt and you have been hurt. And I have been hurt. Some of my deepest hurts in my life have come from church people. Now, I'm not talking about you. I mean, you're the church people who would never do that. But I mean, it's just true. And I know some people who've said some of their deepest hurts have come from church people. We need the Lord. We need to give him our ashes and let him make something beautiful out of it. We need to give him our burdens and then begin to feel that blessing, begin to feel that I can make it, not in my own strength, but in the strength that comes from Christ. And I've really had to practice this quite a bit lately because it's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming to try to pastor people that I can't even go visit. It's overwhelming to see all of the different opinions that everybody has about everything. It's just overwhelming. But what's not overwhelming is God Almighty, who allowed his son to die in my place because I am a wretch, because my heart isn't right, because I am not righteous, allowing Jesus to die in my place, that because of him, I actually can find strength. I can find strength to move ahead. I can find strength. There was a time in my life I was really desperate because I was really hurt. And the Lord said, you gotta let go. I don't wanna let go because I have my rights. You're exactly right, Jim. You have the right to be miserable and you're doing a great job at it. Thanks, Lord. You're the one who wrote in here that I'm bad. I'm just doing what you said I was. I mean, have you ever been there where you're just like at your wit's end? Come on, friends. God says, I'm going to give you praise instead of despair. I'm going to give you blessings instead of mourning. This doesn't say when all of life has lined up. Jesus says, I want to help you when life is bad. You see, we make a trade, our brokenness for his healing, then righteousness flows a little bit easier. When we let go and receive his help, it's made a huge difference in my life. I really believe God wanted you to hear me say today, some of us have to continue to let go. You have been hurt. And it doesn't even mean that somebody hurt you. It just means that you have had pain. And God wants you to let go. And he wants you to receive his healing. And then there's this thing called hang-ups. And everybody has a hang-up, I think. And they're habits. They're things we keep doing that are a little bit destructive for us. I remember, I don't know if it was like 8 months ago or so, I was at the doctor for something, and he says to me, you know, at some point we have to talk about your obesity. And I thought, I said, you don't look that big. I'm not talking about me. Time out. I'm big boned. I'm 5'10". We had COVID. There were very few things I could enjoy, and I enjoyed food and a lot of it. I was so mad. I'm like, that doctor's a loser. Have you ever been there where you don't want to actually look in the mirror and say, Jim, you eat terrible. And so I had to come to grips with my own hang-up. Jim, start eating better. Jim, start exercising. Jim, you need to do this. And I'm not talking about any of you. I'm just talking about me. I don't know what's going on in you. I don't know what that hang-up is. I don't know what that habit is that actually is not positive but destructive. But I do know this about habits. I don't want to hear it. But it's been amazing that I'm healthier just because of a couple of little changes. People, are you on a diet? Or, you know, I said, no, I just think like, you know, the Rocky films. And I mean, that's kind of what it was. And then they're like, well, what are you doing to diet? I'm like, I'm really not. I'm just not eating the stuff that tastes good. And that's all you have to do. You eat anything that tastes good, you're not gonna do it. Today, I did eat a donut. I could have eaten 10. However, I justified that. I rode my bike 51 miles yesterday. And it's not an electric bike, for those who are going, yeah, yeah. Were you towed by a cart? No! And then someone got a little bit of an attitude, you know. I was going into the store, I was half dead, I was, you know. And he goes, well, how much was that bike? Couple thousand. Wow, that's a lot. And I said, well, it's cheaper than a heart attack. And then I thought, Jim, what was that? You know, and this is what happens when you're trying to do the right thing. There's always someone who comes up and goes, whatever. You'll never make it. You're not this. Here's what you are. You're what God says you are. And sometimes we can do something that's good. Just eat, eat, eat. For me, it is so good. And all of a sudden you realize it's probably not the best thing for me. I really believe this week, during my time of prayer, the Lord wanted me to tell you there is absolute hope in Jesus. And he wants to heal your hurts. And he wants to help you with your hang-ups. But the first thing we got to do is to say, I kind of got a hang-up. This is what John wrote. And just sense how he says this. Take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Do you realize that because of God, we actually can know truth and then we can guard our heart in him in righteousness? Will you ever be hurt again? Yeah. Will you ever sin again? Yes. Until we meet him face to face. But what we do with that matters. Now I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I know there are family members, a whole bunch of them. You at home, you can kneel down and pray too, right where you are. And I believe God is going to do a beautiful work today in you and me. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to come, and I'm going to kneel down. And Sharon and I are going to pray for her sister and her husband, and we have other friends that are not just struggling with COVID, but just struggling. And I'm going to invite you, it's not weird, to say, God, I need to come and acknowledge that you're God and that you're going to touch my life today, touch my family. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's stand together and we'll have the band come up. They're going to lead one last song. And I want to pray and then I'm going to invite you to come down and to kneel and pray. And that'll be how we end our service. And you want to pray 2 minutes or 1 minute, that's fine. But I want to encourage you to do that. So Father, we come to you. And Lord, you know how I wrestled hours and hours and hours and hours with how to put on this breastplate of righteousness. And Lord, the bottom line is we need you. We need you to hold all of this armor together. We need you today, Lord. We really need you to heal us of hurt, to help us with our hang-ups. God, we need you to breathe a new spirit in us. We need you to replace the rockiness in our hearts, Lord. It's easy to get jaded in this world, and Lord, we want to be receptive to you. And God, we have friends that we're gonna come and we're gonna stand tall on our knees. We're gonna stand firm on our knees, Lord, and petition you for the next couple of moments to do what you said you could do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, because there's power in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we want to acknowledge you as God today, the one who cares and the one who can bring us hope, in Jesus' precious name. So as they sing this song, it's not like a weird thing, you don't have to do this, but I know that I didn't struggle with this week and this much for you not to be touched by God today. And so I love you so much, and I am believing with you and for you for God's healing and God's hope for each of us today. So again, if there's something that you need to pray for, or maybe you're just going to stand in the gap for somebody who needs prayer today, I want to invite you to come down front and we'll pray together as they sing this last song.